You know, as I welcome you and welcome those that are listening live right now, and those that are shut in at home, they're going to be celebrating communion with us as well. You know, I pray that you have the absolute best, most happiest, if that's a word. I mean, just a great time tomorrow celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I didn't say opening presents. I said celebrating him. Amen? Amen. Listen, I just want to remind everyone that, you know, we didn't take an offering tonight, and someone's going to say, Bill, we didn't take an offering tonight. And I know you're the cheerful giver, praise the Lord. So there's a box out there. You can put it in there, okay? But I never take up an offering on Christmas Eve for the communion service. And also, I was just told as I was coming up, Jesse gave me that look and said, Bill, we have to have three or maybe four really strong men after this service, okay? Because you have to carry this piano someplace. So, and that's really the truth. So you need to meet Jesse after the service here. And on another note, we know that our dear sister Alice Cord went home to be with the Lord, and we'll be doing her service here this coming Friday at 10 a.m. in the chapel. So with all that being said this morning, here's what we're getting ready to do. We're going to pray to the Lord, and we're going to celebrate communion a little different this morning or tonight as we normally do. So let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that Jesus is indeed the only reason for this season. Lord, I'm so thankful for the children in this chapel, the adults, the old people like me, the young people, Lord, the teens, all of them, all the family of Calvary Chapel, those that are still here, haven't been traveling, Lord, but those that are traveling, Lord, get them safely there and bring them back safely as well. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, if we have sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we have grieved, vexed, or quenched, are made sad the Holy Spirit in any way, Lord, we run to the throne of grace, that place that we can come to by virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, through his blood, we enter in right now. Help us really and truly tonight, all of us, to just have childlike faith and enter in to worship you and to love you as you deserve. Now, Lord, tonight help me be led totally by you in this communion service. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Tonight, you know, listen, guys, as we dim the lights just a little bit, okay, just a little, that they're really bright tonight. I know that we're sons of light, amen? But, you know, tomorrow we're going to celebrate our Savior's birth, amen? But tonight we're going to celebrate and remember our Savior's death. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to read a lengthy passage from John chapter 1. You can turn there if you'd like. And then we're going to go ahead and partake of the bread. So I'll give the ushers a quick heads up about that. We're going to do service a little different tonight. But it says in John 1:1, a verse scripture we all know so well, it says, in the beginning was the what? Word. The Word, capital W. We know who that is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Now, we're talking about the pre-existent Son of the living God. Amen? He has always been. And it says, and all things were made through him. And look at this now. And without him, nothing was made. Nothing. Where was that? There it is. Nothing was made that was made. Not one single thing. Jesus is not only the sustainer of creation, he is a creator, amen? If that rain today that he created had gotten a little cooler, it might have turned to snow, and he created snow. He created everything that you see, every butterfly, whatever it is, all things were created through him, for him, and by him. And it says, in him was life. Not created life. It says life, the true life, what all that life is, it says right there was in or existed in Jesus our Lord. He is the only source of life, for he is the creator of life. Amen? And it says, and in him was life, and the life, that life which existed eternally in our Lord, was the light of men. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John, meaning John the Baptist. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all through him might believe. Now, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Oh, from heaven to earth, Jesus came. Amen. And he was in the world, meaning the true light. He says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him, did not recognize him. He came to his own people, his own nation, if you will, his own family. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born. Now listen, the meaning who were born, we're born again from above. Amen. It says who were born not of blood, meaning not of any racial privilege, if you will, nor of the will of the flesh. We certainly couldn't do it by our own power, nor by the will of man, not that of a natural father. Watch this now. But how are we born of God? We are born from above. Amen. It says, and the word became flesh, became human. God in human flesh, the God-man, 100% deity, 100% humanity, if you will. God in the flesh. And he dwelt, or he tabernacled, or presenced himself among us. And we saw his glory, John says. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we start passing out the bread right now, please, gentlemen. We have gathered here tonight. Do you know why? Yes, we're born from above, but we, because we are those, it says right there, those who have believed on his name. The only name that can save a person. The only way that you can go to God the Father. The only way you can go to heaven. We are those who have believed tonight, and it's so wonderful. Listen to me, and this is so simple. We have to have the faith of a child tonight in all that we do. We are his children. We are his sons and daughters. We were born from above, and his spirit bears witness with our spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen? We are sons and daughters of God, and that's why we're here tonight. Now listen, Christmas, you know what Christmas really means? Yes, the birth of the Lord, all those things, but listen, it means that the one that was born in the manger in Bethlehem, he was born to do something. He was born to take your place. Your guilt, your shame, our sin. The one born in the manger, God himself took your place. Jesus is God, amen? He said, he told Philip and Thomas, listen, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. God himself is the one who took your place, took my place on the cross at Calvary. No wonder Paul the Apostle, he shouts out, and he says, oh, thanks be to God for this, his indescribable gift. How can we even put an estimate on the birth of Christ? How can we even express it in our own language? It's impossible. Jesus is God's gift of all gifts. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that. Why did he do it? We know the reason. John 3:16, for God so loved, not just loved, he so loved the world. Remember what that means? I'm not talking about the mountains and the trees and the, no, we're talking about the people of the world, amen? He loved, so loved the world. Everyone on this planet, God loves. And he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, amen? That whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know what God did? He did it in the exact nick of time. I mean, it was unbelievable. It says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, that exact moment in history, it says God sent forth his son. Jesus stepped out of eternity into what we call time, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Loved one tonight, listen carefully. As we are here tonight and we're going to hold the bread and partake together as the family of God, we are not only the family of God tonight, if Jesus is your Lord, we are partakers of his divine nature. We have escaped the corruption that is in this world because we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are members of one another because we are the body of Christ. Amen. Oh, and I say, Lord, you mean, yes, that's right. We are citizens of heaven. We are right now, we are a small colony of heaven, that's our home, that are gathered here on this planet in this chapel to remember and celebrate our Lord. Amen. Oh, I tell you, we need to be like Mary. Remember what Mary cried out? She said, oh, my soul magnifies the Lord. I declare the greatness of God tonight, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. As we hold this bread, I want you to remember this. I mean, I know you know this, but this is the last communion service as in this chapel for this year. And as we hold this bread, you know, and we're going to partake together, let's do something. Let's look back mentally, quietly, and let's remember all the good things that God has done for us. He really did bring us through this year. Did you know that? He carried us, even if it's like the wings upon an eagle, loved one. And as we celebrate this table, all that we do tonight, we do in remembrance of him. And we know that we are to examine our hearts, and we've already done that. And Jesus, remember what he said, the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So the one that was born in a feed trough, amazing. The one who is so hated and so despised, the one who was betrayed, the one who died penniless, homeless, and even died a criminal's death on the cross. He did it all for me and all for you. Jesus says, this is my body, which is broken for you, because I don't want you to stay broken in this life. You live in a broken world because you're, and everybody that's in Adam is broken, but everybody who is in Christ is alive. Amen. And we've been changed all because of that. And we're not going to live a broken life because he was broken for you and for me, in Jesus' name. Father, and we love you, we praise you, and all we do as a family right now, we do in remembrance of you. Let us partake in Jesus' name. Let's pass out the cup, gentlemen. The Word of God says, in the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. You know what that really literally means when he says, do it in remembrance of me? Literally, Jesus, as he institutes this, the Last Supper, as we call it, you know what he's saying? I'm going back to heaven. And when I go back to heaven, don't forget who I am. Don't forget me. Remember the last thing that Jesus did in the Luke's gospel, I think it's the 24th chapter, as he was ascending? Do you remember what he did? He lifted up his hands and he blessed the disciples. And you know what's on his hands? The nail prints, amen? And it was almost like Jesus was saying, don't you forget what I did for you. Don't ever forget it. And we should never forget it, amen? All that he has done for us. Listen, Christmas, the meaning of the birth of Christ, you know what the Bible says? The Bible teaches us, and you know that he was manifested, that Jesus was manifested, made visible on earth. How? Well, he was a babe in the manger. And he was manifested to do something. It says he was manifested, he came to this planet to take away our sins. That's a beautiful word. I mean, just like Peter, when Peter cut off the ear of that servant, remember there when Jesus was being arrested, did he cut it off? Did you know that's the same word in the Greek? In other words, he's taken away our sins, just like Peter took away that guy's ear. Of course, Jesus put it back on. I mean, it's been taken away, our sins. How far has God taken away our sins? The Bible tells us as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Oh, they're gone. They've been taken away. They're not yours. They're not yours. Past, present, future. He paid all of our sin debt. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and yet in him there is no sin. Do you ever just dwell on the fact that because of what Jesus has done, that we have been eternally redeemed, eternally purchased? Eternal means eternal, a forever, amen? The Bible says that we've not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our aimless conduct taught to us by our fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb without spot and without blemish, who was foreordained before the foundation of this world for you and for me. There's no one like Jesus. He's the one who Peter cried out and said, who himself bore our sins on the tree, on the cross. And by his stripes, we are healed. He tasted death for everyone, the writer of Hebrews says. Everyone, so you would never have to taste it. He tasted whatever death is. So when we are absent from this body, we are immediately present with him. Amen. Oh, God is so good. The Bible says that when Jesus himself had purged or cleansed our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty upon high. Oh, what a God. What a God we serve. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is the last sacrifice. There are no more sacrifices for sin. Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. Amen. Father, here we are, partakers, O Lord, tonight. We're your family, your children, your sons, your daughters. We have eternal life. Our sins are gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. And if we do sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess them, O Lord. So, Lord, tonight as we hold the last sacrifice, the one that permanently and forever, for you are indeed the true Lamb of God. Thank you. And what we do, we now do in remembrance of you. Let us partake. We look in within, we look back, and then we look ahead. As often as you eat and drink this cup, it says you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. I'm not talking about the second coming. We know the second coming. I'm talking about the catching away of the church. I mean, he may take us home right now. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but we do know he made a promise. He went to prepare a place for us. Amen? Oh, and he's coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also, and that means forever and ever. But if we're raptured out of here today, tomorrow, we're going to meet him in the air, and we will forever be with the Lord. Amen? Now, I want to do something. We're going to do something a little different. I really feel so led of the Lord. I've been praying. I want all of us, and as hard as it is, especially you, it's hard, I think, for to have childlike faith. I mean, just like a little child. You know, little children, they just act any way they want to. They're like out of control. Doesn't bother them at all. And so tonight, I don't want us, just for the next 10 minutes, we won't be here long, but you know, let's not be too familiar with the miracle of Christmas. We don't want to be like the Jews in the day of old, do we? In other words, where they limited the Holy One of Israel and what they did, they were so intelligent. And I'm not condemning them. We would have done the same thing, but they put the Messiah in some kind of theological box, didn't they? Oh, and they missed him. They missed him. See, the one who was born in a manger, he's not in a manger anymore. He's seated at the right hand of God. And can I tell you that the one who was born in a manger is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus Christ. He does not change. Amen? And we, right this minute, now listen, as a child, just think of this. We have the great high priest. Do you understand? Who sympathizes with any of our weaknesses, any of our infirmities. He went all through it for us. Amen? Oh, listen. And I think, oh, man, he's merciful. He's faithful. But here's something else. He is with us right now. Lo, I am with you always, Jesus said, even until the end of the age. The Christmas miracle. You know what's wrong, why we don't have that childlike faith sometimes? Is because, you know, we take the Christmas story for granted because we have heard it over and over and over and over so many times. But when you have childlike faith, when you talk to your children, the little ones, as they're growing up and their minds are so wide open and their hearts are so, they'll believe, don't they? Oh, listen, you talk to your children about the virgin birth, and they go, okay. They don't go, really? They don't do that. And you talk about the manger, or you talk about the angels and the shepherds in the field and the shepherds coming to see Mary, or the star that the wise men, that they were following. Or you tell your little boy, little girl, I mean your little ones, do you know God loves you? Do you know that God created you? Do you know that God created the sun, the moon, the stars? He created this whole place that we live called earth, and he created it out of nothing. And they go, wow. They don't go, do you understand what I'm saying? That childlike faith. Do you believe we live on a planet created out of nothing? That God just spoke and it was done? That's exactly the truth. Listen, you tell them those things, and loved one, they believe. And you know what? When Thomas was a little boy, you know what he tell me to do? Tell me that story one more time. Over and over, they don't get tired of it. Why? Because it's the wonder of childlike faith. And this, what does that mean? They don't put Jesus in some kind of theological box. They don't limit what God can do. Do you understand? Oh, that's so sad to do that. You know, Frank Clark put it this way. He said, every adult needs a child to teach. It's the way adults learn. Childlike faith. You know, when I think of the birth of Christ, God could have announced it to anyone he wanted to. Amen? He chose angels to make that announcement to the shepherds. But he could have chosen any way he wanted to. He's God, amen? But he chose, and you say, well, why angels? I just read something by Max Lucado, what he said. I want to read what he said about why God chose angels. It says, well, had the angel gone to the theologians, they would have first consulted their commentaries. Had he gone to the elite, they would have looked around to see if anyone was watching. Had he gone to the successful, they would have first looked at their calendars. So he went to the shepherds, men who didn't have a reputation to protect, an axe to grind, a ladder to climb. Here it comes. Men who didn't know enough to tell God that angels don't sing to sheep, that messiahs aren't found wrapped in rags and sleeping in a feed trough. He went to shepherds. Remember Sunday, the outcast of Israel? The only person in Israel that was lower than a shepherd by the rabbis or the people was a leper. Could not go to court, barred from the synagogues, all those things. The religious leaders in Jesus' day, I'm talking about childlike faith right now because that's what we have to have right now. They put the Messiah in their own theological box. Everything Jesus healed on the Sabbath, they go, you're not supposed to do that. Don't you know the law? You've broken the Sabbath law. You remember? And did they want to kill him because of that? Yes. Hello. I mean, listen, we don't want to do that. You know what people do today, and we don't want to do this. We never want to create God in our own image or recreate God in our own image. We want to be conformed to his image. Amen? No. Jesus is still the great physician. He is the same again yesterday, today, and forever. We don't want to ever put Jesus in a box. We don't want to ever put the Holy Spirit in our own little and limit him what he can and cannot do. And remember when Jesus came to the lame man there in John 5? Came to the lame man and he says, do you want to be made whole? He says, well, I can't because, you know, I'm here. I'm at the pool of Bethesda or whatever. And, you know, I can't get in it, you know, when the angel stirs the water. What did Jesus say? He just spoke. He can heal any way he wants to heal. Did you know that? He said, take up your bed and walk. He just took it up and walked. The Jews saw that it was a Sabbath, and they go, the religious leaders said, who told you to get up and carry that? This is a Sabbath. He said, I don't know. I don't know who it was, but he told me, and I got up. They wanted to kill Jesus over that. How about in John chapter 9, the disciples, they said, Lord, about the blind man, said, who sinned, his mother or him, that he was born blind? He said, neither. Jesus said, no, listen, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm the light of the world, I'm going to do something about it. And so he went. Look what Jesus does. You talking about, I mean, he knelt down. No, he didn't. He spit. That's all messiahs do that. I know. And his saliva, he mixed it in with the clay. And here's a man that was born since he was birthed. He didn't know what Jesus was doing. He picks up that, you know, rubs it together and anoints his eyes. And he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. But he was blind. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So there he goes. He's blind. I guess he knew the way perfectly, or maybe somebody helped him. But what if a good Christian brother or sister stopped him along the way and said, oh, you poor blind thing. Here, come on. Let me just take you home. Would he have been healed? No. He had to go. He had to wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did, it says he came back seeing. But did the Jews, were they the religious leaders, were they happy about that? Oh, no. No. You say, well, Bill, why are we doing all this tonight? Different kind of communion service for Christmas. Well, I really don't want to put God in a box tonight. I hope I never do that. You know, Tozer's put it this way about limiting God. Not, you know, I believe my God is the God of the impossible. I believe that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think according to the power that works in me. Amen. Tozer put it this way. Well, you know, when you put God in the box, you limit him. It says we end up with a God who can never surprise us. We end up with a God who can never overwhelm us. A God who can never astonish us and never transcend us. You think we can have childlike faith tonight? I told you on Sunday, and I've never in my memory after 33 years here, I don't know what it's been. I don't know that I've ever called to say, let's pray for the sick on Christmas Eve. But here's, in my heart, it was the way that when I prayed, it was like this, or what I felt. It was, if you're here tonight, and you're sick, but I'm not talking about, okay, I have a runny nose, I have a cold. You'll get prayed for that if you want. But I'm talking about those that you went to the doctor and the doctor told you that you're sick. Well, the great physician is still the great physician. And I think tonight if we will have that childlike faith, do you know how many, do you know the people actually could not come tonight, came to my office and said, Bill, the doctor said this to me. Would you pray for me right now to God to touch me? God can do anything. And if we'll just be right now and say, Father, God, I'm just your child. I know you'd never lie to me. I believe everything that you say. I know that you love me so much you sent Jesus to die for me. And I don't understand all about healing. But I do know the Word of God says, pray ye one for another that you might be healed. It says, if there's anyone among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And if they've sinned in any way, God will forgive them, and God will raise them up. I don't know. I'm not the healer, but he is. And tonight, if you have been diagnosed by a doctor, your personal care physician, and they said, you have this, you have that, you have that. Would you, if you don't have to, but if you want to, can I pray with you? Can I lay hands upon you tonight and pray over you? Maybe there might be a Christmas miracle. Can we do that tonight? As the lights are just dimmed a little bit, they're just a little bright for me. And if that's you, please just get out of your chair. Come, if you don't want to, you don't. But if you want to, please. If you've been diagnosed by a doctor. Now listen, you know, we don't do any kind of shows here. Y'all know that. You know what I'm saying? Pastors, I want the pastors to come down here with me. Mario, I want you to come here with me. Thomas, Pastor Thomas, I want y'all down here. Those that are ill, the doctor said you're ill in your body. We'll pass that through. And I want to pray for this man first. And I'm so glad you came, my brother, Ron. I want to pray for Ron first. Here, y'all use that? Ron, come over here with me. Bobby, I love you. So good to see you, Ron. Come over here. I know. Okay, come here. I know. Oh, it has been a journey. We were at the cross together, remember?
Yes.
And I you know what I said?
Yes.
Yes. Lord, these two vessels, oh my Lord, they have great faith. I know they do, and they live it. Oh, they live it. I've known them for 35 years. God, in Jesus' name, I know that all that radiation, all that chemo The doctor said it's gone, but now it's gone. Forever gone. Ever gone. Never to return. In Jesus' holy name. I praise you for that. Lord God, you're the great physician. This is your purchased possession. This is your child. Let every form of infirmity, sickness, disease, never return. And now give them supernatural strength because they need it. Oh, Lord, supernatural strength to finish this journey that they're on. They need it desperately. Oh, God, I thank you for that. Every need is provided. And, Lord, even now while I'm praying for them, I lift up Ryan. Yes, because of the surgery, his horrible leg injury. Oh, God, bring healing, victory, provision. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Ron, we're going to pray. Now, we're going to pray for all of you now. Guys, you all ready? We're going to pray for everyone that's here, whoever you need. Now, I want you to, this man, has been with me a long time. He was the first servant in that back when we had little cassette tapes. And that back there where that room is, that's where the bookstore was. And he's a faithful man. And he's sick. And I believe God can heal him. But I believe because I believe, and I know that you have suffered. I love you. We've been friends a long time. In Jesus' name, Lord God, you know everything, and I not mention any of it, but you know what he has gone through for so long. You know the suffering, you know the pain, you know what the doctors say, and went back to the hospital, back to the emergency room, over. Oh God, I love this man, and you love him more. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the greatest name. For every knee, disease, anything created must bow. I confess your name, Lord. I bow before you as I pray over him. Heal him. Do a Christmas miracle. And I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, be made whole. Amen and amen. I love you.
Okay. I love you, brother.
I don't. Okay. All right. Amen. We prayed? Hell, what are you doing? Good to see you. Have they been prayed for? Have y'all been prayed for? Huh? Who hasn't been prayed for? Kathleen, have you not been prayed for? You have? Did we pray for him? Let's pray. Let me have some of that too. I'm thirsty. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for Fred. And as I pray for you, I'm asking God to heal me too. For I need it. Lord, you know both of our needs. You know what's wrong with me, and you know what's wrong with Fred. And I believe, oh Lord, I believe you're our healer. And as I lay my hands upon him, as we connect as brothers and sisters and pray in one for another, oh God, listen, any infirmity in his body, sickness in his body, in my body, Lord, you know what it is. Let's just get rid of it. Just let it be gone. Oh God, please, by your mercy, by your goodness, by your promises, by your love. Oh, touch him. And as you do, touch me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God is good. I love you. Who else hasn't been prayed for? Kathleen, let's pray. Are you the last one? First, you'll be last. Huh? Lord, I thank you for this faithful woman. This is a faithful servant of yours, Lord. You know what's wrong. I know what's wrong. The doctors have told her what's wrong. But Lord, with the faith of a child, knowing that you can do all things, whether you want to heal her with medication or by it, Lord, whatever it is, heal her. Increase her days. Increase her days even this moment. In the greatest name we pray. I thank you, Lord, for Kathleen. A healer. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. God is good. No, God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. Mario, is Eric here? I'm praying for Eric over you. You can stand in proxy for him. Is that okay? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for Eric Rimbach. Lord, for the pituitary gland that they just operated on is going to function 100%. And Lord, the hole in his heart that the doctors are going to, that they have to operate on. Lord, even now, you are a heart specialist. No one can heal a broken heart, a damaged heart, or a hole in the heart like you. Let it shrink. Let it be gone. Lord, do a Christmas miracle for all that we have prayed for and for Eric. And Lord, we love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, we're getting ready to leave because we know that they're tracking Santa Claus across the... That's a joke, okay? 2014 is over. Now, I might not see you until next year. No, 2024. Did I say 2014? Well, I'm a prophet. 2014 is over. Hallelujah. Woo, man. See, you never know what's going to happen at Calvary. You know, especially, you know, with me, with the cheese slipping off the cracker. I mean, you know, man. Well, and 2024 is nearly gone too. If I don't see you until next year, I love you. I pray you have a wonderful Christmas. But could, as we close out tonight, and I know the band's going to come back up here, but can we do something by God's grace, by God's truth, by God's strength, by God's love? Some of us need to let go of 2024. Some of you, it was a bad, bad year, especially if you lost those that you love. Let's let go of our defeats, our failures, what might have been, could have been, or should have been. And let's walk into 2025 filled with the Spirit of God, living for Jesus every day. Amen. Loving Him, serving Him. Let's all become stronger together as one body. one loaf, as Paul says. And let's just simply love the Lord. Listen, God loves you. God is with you. And God will never leave you. He's for us. Amen. I feel like there's so much I want to say. But you know what? Sometimes less is more, you know? I pray, I love you dearly. It's been a great adventure. A great adventure. So, Rebecca and I, we say from our home to yours, we pray that tomorrow is literally filled with the presence of Christ Jesus. Merry Christmas. We're going to sing to the Lord. I love you.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore.
Give the Lord all the glory and praise. Amen. We love you, church.